whether you're meeting me this morning for the first time or whether you've known me for a while, I don't think you might know this about me. I used to be a treasure hunter. My friends and I would hop on our bikes and we'd go searching, looking for pop bottles. We would look in the ditches. We would look on the side of the road. And those are the good old days where you could get 5 cents return on a pop bottle. And we would be looking for and trying to find these glass treasures and spending a good chunk of the day doing so. A good haul back then, we could pull in $2. And I know it's impressive. And split four ways, that was 50 cents. We thought we were rich. We thought we had made it. A passion for finding treasures. Not just boys looking for pop bottles, but we think of today's drama where there's a search and a mission to find lost treasure. We think of scuba divers who go out looking for loot in shipwrecks. We think of Easter egg hunts, very popular activity here in the Byron area. I know some of you who watch History Channel's The Curse of Oak Island, where they are looking for an underground bounty. And I think of those who like to play games with their children, maybe your grandchildren. And you know how it is, there's a hidden object. And as the child gets closer to it, you go, you're getting warm. You're getting hot. And when you're far away from that object, we would yell out, you're getting cold. You're getting colder. Lots of things that we look forward to looking for, searching for treasures. But the notion of the cross being a treasure, it's just not one of the doctors in our drama today who found that quite surprising and fascinating. But maybe for you, thinking of the cross as a treasure is a bit of a stretch, a bit of a reach. The cross of Christ, we know, was made of very simple wood. It would have been relatively cheap wood. Now, we know that when it comes to the cross of Christ, the value is in its meaning, its significance, and its relevance. Discovering the treasure of the cross, discovering what it means to celebrate Christ crucified, is a worthy quest that can bring an incredible return for you and me. Now, this month here at the church, we've been going through John chapter 12, and this morning I'd like us to consider again the next paragraph in John 12 and making it appropriate to this occasion. So on the screen behind me, you're going to see John 12, verses 20 to 26. It says, now there are some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the Passover. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor those who serve me. So I have three nuggets for you this morning. Three insights on truly discovering the treasure of the cross. Now, what we notice in our setting is that the Greeks, and earlier John has described how the whole world was coming after Jesus. So here the Greeks represent the whole world searching for Jesus, wanting to see him. I believe they would have been very curious. They wanted to know about this man and his mission. They wanted to know if Jesus had any meaning, significance, or relevance for them. Now, I must admit, when you read through the passage that we just considered, it seems that Jesus is brushing the Greeks and their requests. He's just brushing them off. But another way of looking at it, and the correct way, is that he is giving us insights into who he really is, what it means for Jesus to be the crucified Christ. So what do the Greeks and you and me discover? I've got three insights for us this morning. First of all, the cross of Christ is a treasure because it displays his glory. Can I repeat that? The cross of Christ, Jesus dying, is a treasure because it displays his glory. Now, our tendency is to think of the cross on a hill being a place that's gory. We think of the blood. We think of the suffering. We think of the torment. So we think of the cross on a hill as a place of gory. It's hard for us to consider the cross as a place of glory. In fact, I had a question just the other day. It was a good question. It's a question that pertains to all of us this morning. The woman asked me, "Pastor John, why would we be having brunch on Good Friday? Isn't it to be a solemn, serious day? Why would we be doing brunch on Friday?" Now, don't make any mistake. The cross was a place of suffering. Jesus later in John 12, we have a record of him saying, "The hour has come and my heart is greatly troubled." We also know that on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, Father, why are you forsaking me?" This is a very sad and very solemn statement. But as I explained to the woman the other day, I said, the phrase, "it is finished." Most of us have a tendency to think that Jesus dies on the cross, as we recognize Good Friday, comes out of the tomb on Easter Sunday, and declares, "it is finished." Likely the greatest cry of victory for the Christian. Now, my question for you is, when did Jesus cry out, "it is finished"? Good Friday or Easter Sunday? Anyone want to venture a guess? Good Friday. And that forces us to think about that idea of a cry of victory on Good Friday. Glory is an interesting word. We use it a lot. I'm not sure how well we know what it means. Glory means splendor. It means worth. And get this, it carries with it the idea of victory. Now, when Jesus says, "The hour has come, the time has come for me to be glorified," he looked at the cross, the burial, and the resurrection as a package. Now, that doesn't fit well sometimes in our church calendar, but biblically, the first Christians would have thought of the whole package. It would be difficult for them to think of the cross apart from the resurrection. They couldn't think of the resurrection of Jesus apart from the cross of Christ. But when it comes to the supreme manifestation of his glory, it occurred on what we celebrate as Good Friday. And we need to see it in that kind of way. The glorification of Jesus came from the Father, because what we have is a spectacular display of obedience. There's never been a greater obedience than Jesus showed his Father on that day on the cross. We are the beneficiaries of that obedience, but never forget, Jesus' primary motive in going to the cross was obeying the will of his Father. So when it comes to this service, I've called this a fusion of moods. It's complicated and it's difficult, because there's a sense this morning where we're sad when we realize it's our sins that put Jesus on the cross. But we are glad and we celebrate because of what Jesus accomplished and achieved for us. The woman I gave this response to was quite satisfied. She said, "I'm really glad that there is opportunity on Friday for celebration. I have no problem with that mix, the tension, and sometimes tension is a good thing, between sadness and gladness. This morning I expect you're going to have times where you're going, this is really sad. But there will also be times this morning where we will be going, I'm glad that we're able to gather here to celebrate the victory over sin, death, and the devil that happened that first Good Friday. What we must never do, which happens in a lot of places, is view Good Friday as a day of defeat. That we go out of here with a very solemn look, downcast. No, and hear this accurately. Good Friday is a day of victory. A wonderful victory, an incredible display of Jesus' glory. We tend to think of suffering, then glory. Good Friday, that first Good Friday, was glory in the suffering. We have seen his glory, and as I've said several times this month, when you capture a glimpse of the glory of Jesus, everything changes. The second insight is this: the cross of Christ is a treasure because Jesus' death produces life. Right back at the start of the month, we considered Caiaphas, this enemy of Jesus, coming up with a prophecy, which is, one will die for many. And we see the spiritual significance of one dying for many. The principle, or the parable we saw in our passage, is just as a seed must die to give life or to produce other seeds, Jesus died to give us life. Now, in the right place, I would explain this soteriologically. In another setting, if I was in a Bible college, I might explain this Christologically. But I'm a simple guy, and I know we've got a lot of kids here today. So what I need, if you're a kid, you know if you're a kid, I need you to come to the platform right now to help me out. If you need a parent to come up with you, that's okay. And I need Josh. Where's Josh? He's really a big kid, and he's going to come and help us out too. So if you're a child, come up to the platform. It's a very simple illustration. Okay. Oh, lots of kids. That's great. Now, here's what I need you guys to do. Josh is going to be a big seed. In fact, he's going to be an okra. I don't even know what okra is. It tells me on the back of the seed package that it's good in soups. Gumbo. Gumbo. Okay, it's gumbo. Well, I know what gumbo is. There you go. So he's our gumbo seed. You guys, what you need to do, now this is a tough one. I need you to either kneel down or lay down on the platform and be completely still, as if you were lifeless. Can you do that for me? Can you sit down or lay down? You surprise your parents. Show them how quiet and still you can be. Wonderful. Now, what's going to happen? This is what we read in this part of the Bible. The big seed, he's going to crumple down and die. Okay, so watch this. There he goes. He's dying. He's done. Now, what's going to happen is you guys are going to spring to life. Now, I've got some other seed packages. So you guys, rather than opening these, I think that could get a bit messy. I need some. Who would like to be a beet? Okay, Tristan? You know, you don't like, do you like beets? Oh, you don't. Though that won't work. How about carrots? You like carrots, right? There you go. So you guys are going to be carrots. Carson, can you be head of the cucumber group? Ava, can you be, you'll be the beet, okay? I'm sorry. So now you guys are going to spring back up to life, okay? Because the one big seed has died, but you guys are going to spring to life. So stand up. Now, I could give you some seeds for helping me out, but actually, I had some corn. Does somebody want to be corn? Mace, you're going to be corn. Oh, you okay, you get close to Mace then. Now, I thought I would give you seeds for helping me out, but actually, I've just got chocolates. How many of you would you rather have a chocolate than a seed? Okay, I knew. Okay, so get a chocolate here. I hope I have enough. If I run out, I will get you. Just take one. Do the chocolates have seeds?
No.
Well, for today, we're going to pretend, okay? There you go. Any of you guys here, Violet and Ivory, there you go. You could keep the seeds, yeah? Now, and you don't have to share the chocolate with your parents, okay? Can we? There you go. Let's thank the kids for helping out. Somebody else missed? There you go. Chloe? Oh, I'm sorry. The seeds you guys can keep. Tristan, plant that in your backyard this summer, okay? You can, oh, you keep the chocolates. You could keep them, you can eat them, whatever. Now, my purpose was to demonstrate that one dies for the many. One dies for the many. And that's the great lesson that we see here when it comes to what Jesus Christ has done for us. What he achieved, what he accomplished on that Good Friday. If there's no cross, there's no life for you and me. And the cross of Christ, we also see, is a treasure because it draws people in darkness to the light and to the life, as we've seen here today. People in darkness do not know where they're going, but the cross has a way of lighting our path and directing and pointing us to Jesus. I know of a big cross in a town here in Ontario, and they have it lit. And when you look at that cross, it's on a big hill, it draws attention not only to the cross, but more importantly to Jesus. So, two insights. The cross of Christ is a treasure because it displays his glory. The cross of Christ is a treasure because Jesus' death produces life. And then the final insight is a real surprise. The cross of Christ is a treasure because it prompts us to die too. In John chapter 12, we see an invitation to hate a self-centered life and to enter into discipleship, following Jesus and serving him. Did you know on Good Friday there are three crosses? The cross of Christ, which is unique, and the cross that Jesus has told us to take up. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus is promoting a life of surrender, a life of sacrifice, a life of service. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. No wonder the Apostle Paul could say something very profound. I have been crucified with Christ. When you think of the cross, think of what Jesus uniquely accomplished for you and me, but think of Jesus' challenge. Take up your cross and follow me. I'm going to close the devotional with one of my all-time favorite quotes, but very challenging. It's by a man named A.W. Tozer. Let's look at this quote. In every Christian life, there is a cross and a throne. And the Christian is on the throne until he puts himself on the cross. If he refuses the cross, he remains on the throne. We all want to be saved, but we insist that Christ do all the dying. I got to read that again. I think that describes most Christians I know. We all want to be saved, but we insist that Christ do all the dying. We remain king within our little kingdoms and wear our tinsel crowns with pride. But we doom ourselves to shadows, weakness, and spiritual sterility. When we die to self, die to selfishness, we become alive to to the purposes and plans of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the three treasures, the cross of Christ is a treasure because it prompts us to die too. The cross of Christ is a treasure because Jesus' death produces life. The cross of Christ is a treasure because it displays his glory.